Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, Harley Street nutritionist, master practitioner, personal trainer, and best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well. I'm so excited to share my vision of food far beyond the confines of my clinic. I truly believe food should always be a positive aspect of life, offering enjoyment, fuel, and happiness for both the mind and body. I'll be joined by some very special guests, and we'll be talking about how to develop a healthy relationship with food, and what does that even mean? How does it make us feel, and how it can change our lives forever? Zanna van Dyck is a personal trainer, author, and entrepreneur. She is one of the UK's most recognisable voices in health and fitness and the first female UK Adidas Global Ambassador. She is co-founder of The Girl Gains, a movement empowering women, host of BBC's Fit and Fearless podcast with her two best friends, Tally and Vic. And with a passion for sustainability, Zanna has most recently founded Stay Wild Swimwear, a brand made from recycled ocean plastic. Her love for travel sees Zanna blog the world, so it's wonderful to catch her at a time when she's here at home with us today. Hello, Zanna.
Hello.
You're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Genuinely, I'm so excited.
I actually got you here. I mean, in terms of a lifestyle that means you're rarely actually in your home country, you're definitely nailing that one at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm in the country for 5 days this month, which
is
shocking. And like, actually, I just wish I was home a little bit more sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you grew up in Yorkshire. So from Yorkshire to London, it's quite a change in that in itself. And You were kind of in search of a career in fitness from what I've gathered. And how do you think over the years your relationship in food has evolved?
From back when I was in Yorkshire to now, I mean, it's changed massively.
Yeah.
I've always focused on like homemade food. My mum was like a meat and two veg, shepherd's pie, homemade lasagna,
spag bol.
Everything was from scratch. We never really bought anything packaged. Yeah. So I feel like that was instilled in me from a young age. Although when I went to university, I did have no idea how to cook and definitely fell back on ready meals for like the first year.
Yeah.
It has been instilled in me to focus on whole foods and homemade food. But my journey has changed massively from where I was back then. Like, if you guys don't know, I am like plant-based now. So that was a massive transition which has happened over the course of the past few years.
Yeah.
And also back then I believed in more of like a diet culture approach to food. And I used to think like if you want to lose weight, you just didn't eat. And you just didn't eat carbs.
Well,
I think everyone
was brainwashed that their entire lives.
Yeah, and like low fat, low carb, low fun. Like everything was low.
Fun.
That was what I believed back then. But that's because that's what everybody believed. And I was just uneducated. So ignorance was bliss. Like that was what I... all I knew, so what I knew. Does that make sense?
And when you say, because that's such a huge transition, because obviously you're an author, you know, your first book, Strong, obviously you were a meat eater back then. Mm-hmm. What was the catalyst moment that kind of did it? Was there one, or was it gradual?
It wasn't really like a single moment. I have had a very slow transitional journey to becoming plant-based, which I kind of feel like for me worked. I think if I'd done it overnight, I probably would have gone back on myself. So for me, doing it slowly and doing it in a way where I was like listening to my body as I went and learning how to cook plant-based meals as I went along, I feel like if I had gone overnight, it does work for some people. Yeah. But if I'd done it overnight, I wouldn't have known what on earth to cook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I just had to learn. I'm like, what do I do if I don't eat salmon at every meal? So I had to work out like what my protein sources were and how to eat this way. In terms of like a particular moment, I watched this documentary called Cowspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually my second time watching it.
I thought you had to watch it a few times. I remember that.
Yeah, so I watched it. I watched all the like vegan documentaries back when I was at university. But I was in a headspace where I was very closed-minded back then. Like I was very kind of like focused on myself. Maybe you might say a little bit self-absorbed. Like
well,
I was.
To be honest, I actually think we need to go easy on ourselves because we should all be more self-absorbed, I think, than we are.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe we should go back a bit. I don't know. Maybe I don't know your self-absorbed version.
Back then, I was very like. Okay. One-track mind about me and my journey.
Yeah.
And like I watched his documentaries and I was like, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. Like, that's nonsense. And then I rewatched them a few years later. God knows why. But I did. I rewatched Cowspiracy and I can't remember what other ones I watched.
There was a plastic one as well.
Yeah, but that was 6 months later. Okay. So Cowspiracy was the one that after that I said, oh, I'm going to stop eating red meat. And I remember making this YouTube video and saying, I'm gonna stop eating red meat for the planet because of this and that. And I even said in the video, don't worry, I'm not going to go vegetarian.
Oh, did you?
Look at me now. So back then I kind of went on this journey of like trying to source ethical meat, but then I personally couldn't find meat which I believed was ethical.
Yeah.
So then I was like, right, I'm not going to eat meat, I'll go veggie. Mm-hmm. And then I never really had the urge to go vegan because I hadn't educated myself to that level.
Yeah.
And then I have this Facebook group called the Living Consciously Crew.
I love the Living Consciously
Crew. I love it too. Yeah. And it's like it's a Facebook group based around sustainability. And we used to do challenges on there every single month. Now we do them every few months, but back then it was like every month different challenge.
Yeah.
And we did a vegan challenge last September, so a year and 3 months ago, 4 months ago now.
Gosh, time.
And I know, it feels like the other day. And I went vegan for 2 weeks and I was like, oh, this is fine. And then I didn't look back.
How fun. So it was just a moment like that.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing.
Yeah,
it's
so
interesting, though, because the number of vegans has literally, these are actual stats, quadrupled between 2014 and 2018. And that's according to our food standards agency, the FSA.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's absolutely huge. And that rise has literally, I think, resulted in an explosion of new foods and ready meals emerging. Uh-huh. And it's never really been easier to eat a vegan diet, would you say?
No, it's really, really easy now. And like, for example, you know, Veganuary, like that has been growing like 2, 3, 4, 5-fold every year. Like the amount of people who are trying veganism for January, if you don't know what Veganuary is.
That is
getting even larger every single year. So people are starting to listen more. And I think there's just been a general movement in terms of like news agencies and newspapers of talking about the environmental elements of a plant-based diet.
That's the good side of it. So one worry that I have is that just because you put something, I don't like labeling food choices, you can be whatever you want to be, but veganism does not mean healthy for everyone, because there are actually a lot of unhealthy vegans out there. I'm sure you'd agree. If you don't know what you're doing, you can definitely find your way into not eating the best diet, let's say.
I mean, well, just eating rice and beans all day, or just eating pasta and tomato sauce all day is vegan.
Yes.
And that does not include a single sprout of broccoli.
No.
So you kind of need to, you can be a junk food vegan, but you can also be a healthy vegan. It's just making sure you do it the right way if you
are
going to do it.
Exactly. What are we going to put in, not take out of the diet? That's something I know we both ham home a lot, which is really important. And I believe in positive nutrition a lot. And I think, in fact, that's one thing I was going to mention to you as well, because I'm bringing out something, a guide on how to be plant-based, because I think people need educating how to do it correctly.
That's something
that I think has to happen. And how would you build a balanced vegan plate?
I think,
chuck it on there.
I think for me it's the same as a non-vegan plate, but just doing it with vegan ingredients. So like making sure you have carbohydrates, proteins and fats.
Totally. Give us a few popular vegan proteins. I think that's so where people get
beans
stuck.
Beans and legumes. Soy, tofu.
Have you tried tempeh?
Oh, I love tempeh.
Yeah, where do you buy that from? Because I find that really hard to get here.
I just had some for lunch, and on a salad.
Oh, there we go.
But yeah, I get tempeh from like you can buy it on Whole Foods stores online and just get it sent to your house if you can't find it in a local
shop.
For
those of you that don't know, I'm really sorry. That is kind of fermented soybeans. So it's similar to tofu, but it's actually more nutritious.
Yeah, it's like tofu, but then fermented. So it's harder. It's easier to digest than tofu, I find.
Yeah.
I really, really like tempeh. I think for me, something which was a journey when it came to eating plant-based was releasing this pressure around protein as well, because I used to think that every single meal, every single snack and every single morsel that passed my mouth had to have protein, and if it had high protein it was healthy. And then
from your PT days, do you think?
I think it was from my bodybuilding days. So I don't know if you follow me back then, Rhi, but like 5 years ago I did like the bodybuilding thing.
I think I missed that chapter of your life,
mate, I'm quite glad that you did. I did all that for a while. I was quite muscly though. I was quite strong. It was a great time.
Well, you are strong,
back then it was all like protein. And now it's kind of actually I don't need to have like 30 grams of protein every single meal. I can just have like 12, 15 grams from my beans and legumes, and that's absolutely
fine. The body doesn't even, and this is one big misconception, the body doesn't even absorb a plus, I would say, over 30 grams in one sitting. You just kind of pee and excrete stuff out.
I love that. Pee and excrete it out.
You just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And then carbohydrates, obviously there's tons of different types of those as well. You want tons of colour in a vegan plate, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That's my main focus. Like I'm trying to like really diversify my diet and make sure I get multiple different colours at a meal. And my boyfriend always thinks I'm crazy because when we go to the shops, I'm like, that's a new vegetable we haven't cooked with. We need to get that, or we need to try the purple cauliflower because it's purple.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh, I love it. And the purple sprouting broccoli's back. Exactly. And I love the purple sprouting one.
It's so good. Yeah. I mean, we sound like ridiculous right now.
I know.
I do love that sort of stuff. So.
I think diversity, that's really the spice of life. And we go on about it all the time, but it is so beneficial for your gut microbiome and your overall health. I mean, if you're looking at incorporating, set yourself a challenge at home if you're listening, one new item a week.
One new thing. I genuinely try and do that. I do try and put like a new food or a new ingredient or something new in every week, because I just think it's not only does it make it more interesting what you eat, but I think it is good for your gut as well.
100%. I mean, if we could go back to those documentaries, so if we're talking about the second time round that you were sparked about going plant-based at that point, when you say you didn't believe them at first, so obviously there's balanced arguments for and against, what were the main kind of things that were in the back of your head when you were thinking, oh, I'm not sure?
You know what? I think the main reason why I didn't was because I was a closed-minded person, and this sounds like a little bit hippy-dippy, but before I'd ever meditated or got into mindfulness. Yeah. And if you guys don't know, I'm quite into that side of things.
It's a really beneficial thing to be into, we now know.
I'm big into that. And as soon as I started to do that, I started to shift my perception and try and look outwards rather than purely looking inwards.
Yeah.
And as soon as I did that, then started being, I read this book actually, one book which I think really shifted my perception was Sapiens. Have you read Sapiens?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, so good.
Yes. I couldn't put it down.
No, I'm actually reading the sequel again now. So Homo Deus.
I noticed that.
So good. Because he's just put out a new book, so I want to reread his second book to kind of like get myself back into his vibe.
Yes.
Sapiens is not about vegetarian or veganism, but it's about the impact of humanity on the planet.
Exactly.
And reading that after I'd started being more mindful kind of just made me realize like, oh my God, every action that I take has a reaction. Like it produces an impact on the planet, and I just never even thought like that. My brain hadn't got to that point, my thought process hadn't got to that point. And as soon as I did, when I then watched documentaries, I was like, oh,
I just have the biggest smile on my face right now, because one thing I would love to encourage everyone is that we all have power to make small changes make such big results in the long term. You know, if we all have that mindset and that outlook, I think we can make a difference. And I used to be like that. I used to be closed-minded and think, oh, what I do, how can that make a difference? Because it's such a big world. I'm one tiny ant. It used to really scare me. You know, when you think of how many people are on the planet and you're looking out, it really does kind of freak me out.
Still scares me a bit. But
yeah, it really does. So is that why, when it comes to your Facebook group, what does living consciously mean to you?
Living consciously to me is exactly that, trying to live on this planet a little bit more consciously. What I like to say is that to live on this planet, right, we get given this life on planet Earth.
We just get to, like, born into it,
and we get to live this privileged existence of
We get access to everything.
Exactly. And we get to enjoy the beauties of the planet. But then I think we have to pay rent, right, to
we
live
do.
Here.
So unfortunately, that's part of our life.
No, but we have to pay rent to the planet.
We do.
So my belief is that to pay rent to the planet, we just need to live a little bit more consciously. You need to try and reduce your consumption of things that's negatively impacting the planet and increase your consumption or increase your actions which are going to positively impact the planet. That's what I personally believe. I feel like it's every human's responsibility. If you're lucky enough to be here, you might as well try and look after your home.
I completely agree. One thing that I really hope would happen, and it's since I've got a keep cup, I mean, it changed my life. I've got my little straw that I take everywhere with me. I know, this is called Sipsy. It's a little recyclable straw I've got with me. But on that note, why on earth did the government not just ban coffee cups? Then we'd all carry a keep cup, and then we'd all just have this one cup for a very, very long time.
I know. I just feel like, I think we're in a bubble where we think that everybody cares. But then, like, when you actually get out of our bubble of consciousness and you go out into just a normal Costa, and many other coffee shops exist. Mm-hmm. But if, for example, you go to a Costa or a Starbucks or any of these shops, you actually realise that 98% of the population are taking a disposable cup, and they look at you like, what on earth are you doing carrying a reusable cup? Mm-hmm. And then you realise, oh, not that many people actually care.
No.
So it's kind of, it's kind of like,
But that's why I had to get you on the podcast, Anna, because I know from obviously knowing you for quite a while that this is something you're so passionate about. But I think you've also helped spark a lot of other people in a kind of social media world, because let's be fair, you were on Instagram at the very beginning. And that's nearly 8 years ago.
I've been on air for a while.
It was really scary. I looked at 8 years. It's gone very fast. And you used to be called... you'll be impressed I've looked at this. Was it the Blonde Health?
Blonde Health.
Yeah.
Blonde Health.
Blonde Health. That but was obviously me. Your content has changed massively.
Oh my God, yeah. Like the journey for my content has been quite miraculous.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started, I just did food photos and I didn't share my face because I was like, I don't want to show who I am, not just strangers on the internet.
Yeah.
Then I started showing a little bit of fitness. Then it shifted more fitness. And then it became like fitness and who I am, so like personality based.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like me and anything that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So it's like fitness, food, travel, sustainability.
It's
like
incredible.
Anything that I want to talk about.
And do you find that it's kind of... I've had another guest on recently. We were talking about the Twitter emerging into the world. You know, that was the first kind of platform aside from Facebook. And it was a bit more... I think you can get a lot of online trolling and things like that. Mm. How have you managed to protect yourself at the same time when you started putting yourself and your opinions out there?
I mean, it just comes with the territory. If you're going to have an opinion online with an audience, you kind of have to put that out there knowing people are going to disagree.
I know.
And it doesn't really make it any easier.
No, because we're sensitive people.
Oh my God. And like, I am such an, like, inside, I'm a people pleaser.
Yes.
Like, I try and be a sassy mofo, but in reality, I just want to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
So
I think we all do. That's lovely. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, when I do get hate, it can be challenging. If it's like really blatant, ridiculous hate, like sometimes I get these messages which are absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, like, you have got issues, mate. You need to go home and have a look in the mirror.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody who says something where it's kind of like, they disagree, they say it really nicely, and they're like, well, I followed you for years, but actually, now I don't agree with your message, or I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, and I'm like, oh, that cuts
me
deep.
It does sting. Yeah, that stings. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm a person. I have evolving, changing behaviours.
Exactly. But I kind of feel like now it doesn't actually happen that much anymore. I got quite a bit when I first started talking about sustainability, I think because it was a shock to the system for a lot of people, and they didn't follow me for that.
Even I remember what a big change it was, but I was like, wow, you opened my eyes as well. And it
was.
I remember you told me to watch, I think it was Coral or...
Chasing Coral.
Chasing Coral, that song. So there is a theme song for those of you listening. Download Chasing Coral. It's the most beautiful song with lyrics. Chasing Colour or Colours. Yeah. Anyway, off topic slightly. What do you think we can all do to make a difference? Is there one easy change that everybody that you could say, come on, everyone, what can
I mean, there's many changes. I can give you a few top tips.
Please do.
Number one, try meatless Mondays, or try more plant-based meals.
Yeah.
Try maybe making your breakfast every day be plant-based. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if every single person in London just tried to reduce their meat consumption, it would make a massive, massive, massive difference.
Yeah,
so
that's huge.
Do that.
I even have a meat-free Monday in my book, Renourish, guys. So, you know, we have to start encouraging different options. You don't have to give it up yet, but definitely make some changes.
Yeah, and I think restaurants or places where they put vegetables at the center of the meal actually have more flavor, and they're more interesting dishes, because it's so easy to just put a piece of salmon with some broccoli and some rice. Whereas like, if you have to make lentils or carrots or something be the center of a meal, they have to kind of like jazz it up a bit. So don't be scared to go to a meal which is focused on plants, because they often actually put more flavour into that.
And there's a big misconception that plant-based foods don't keep you full. Well, actually, guys, they contain a lot more fibre.
Oh my God,
fibre's
yes.
the thing that keeps you fuller for longer. I mean, yeah. we're not technically meant to make that claim on any product these days, but fibre keeps you full.
It does keep you full. In terms of other swaps, I'd just say the easiest thing you can do, which every single person can do, is purchase reusable products rather than using...
like my Keep Cup.
Exactly.
Yep.
So,
like your bottle.
Exactly. Yep. So rather than using single-use products, these products take a lot of resources to produce. Mm-hmm. For example, if you use a single-use plastic bottle, it takes 6 times the amount of water that's in that bottle to produce that bottle. And a quarter of the amount of water that's in that bottle is how much oil is used to make that bottle. So a lot of water, a lot of oil goes into producing this one bottle, which you might use for 15 minutes, and then more resources will go into recycling it or handling it as waste. It literally makes absolutely zero sense to have a single-use plastic bottle. So
it does make zero sense.
It literally blows my mind.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a country where you can't drink bottled water, tap water, don't understand that.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those.
For those places, I get asked this a lot. I use a bottle called a Life Straw bottle, and so you just fill any water in there, and you suck it through the Life Straw, and you can drink even water from the river.
Does that filter?
Yeah. So that's just a tip, because I get asked that all the time.
It's almost like having a water filter, like an ion exchange column, but inside everywhere you go.
Oh yeah. So you can drink literally. You could drink water from a puddle. I wouldn't recommend that. But you literally could with that bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know, it's actually funny. I'm going to mention this because we had someone that was on Bear Grylls, the island, earlier in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
And they were saying they had to filter water through a bra or socks and things. That was desperate times.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think it would be much easier to have one of your devices.
Yes. I think just get a Life Straw, guys. In terms of other sustainable swaps, reusable bottle, reusable coffee cup, reusable straw, reusable cutlery. I just went to a lunch restaurant where you sit in, but they still serve you your food in disposable packaging. It breaks my heart.
I
but I asked for it in a paper packaging with no plastic lid, and then I ate it with my own reusable cutlery. So I'd in reality only produced one piece of waste rather than producing maybe four or five as any normal customer would.
I love how honest you are about that, because nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I went earlier into a place to get a shake, and I was like, can you just leave the straw out, please? Could you put it in my Keep Cup? Oh, we're not allowed to do that.
Oh, really?
I was like, you won't pour this liquid into a Keep Cup? Why does that make a difference? Go, it's not the right size. And I was like, well, can you at least take my straw? And then they gave me the drink with the plastic straw in it anyway. And I was like, I've got a straw here. I said that.
Oh.
And then they ended up putting it in the bin. I was like, I've just tried so hard.
Mate, what matters is that you tried.
I know.
Actually, a lot of places are open to using your own bottle.
Yeah.
So I take my own water bottle so I do a lot of workout classes, and often these workout classes have attached smoothie bars.
Yes,
and
they
I
do.
Always get my smoothie in my bottle.
Yeah.
And I've never had somebody reject me for that. Even at Joe and the Juice, they will put your smoothie in your bottle.
Like good.
Most mainstream places.
I won't name where I just went, but guys, yes.
Some of the places do allow you to do that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we've had a lot of questions from followers, and I'm sure you've got so many more tips to share with us. So this is really good. So Kim has said, I'm nowhere near ready to go vegan yet, but I do want to buy ethically sourced meat and fish. Where can I find them? You kind of answered that earlier. I don't know if
You can maybe answer this, Ree, but in my personal opinion, I hate saying this.
I think there's a difference between the word ethical and sustainable.
Yeah, so I personally don't believe, perhaps certain types of meat, okay, let me cover this in various angles. Ethically, I don't believe any meat is ethical because an animal has lost its life. Sustainably, there is a form of farming called circular farming where you'll have cattle grazing on different fields to help put nitrates back into the soil, which help with the crop yields. So certain farming practices are more sustainable, which involve animals. However, I still wouldn't kill the animals for meat, but that is a more sustainable sustainable place to get products from.
I think that's lovely. And I think you have to really look on the packets now, because there are certain stamps of approval, like things like fish, for instance. You can look if it's, it will say on the packet if sustainably sourced or not. So yes, really simple things that you can make a difference with there. But I think when it comes to meat, you're better off cutting down overall consumption. And then when it comes to fish, try and make that swap if you can, Kim. That would be really good. Little
and also,
changes.
I will, sorry, I'm not going to be preachy, but I will try and reduce fish, just because 46% of the Great Pacific garbage patch is made from fishing nets. So if you want to fight ocean plastic, a really positive way to fight ocean plastic is also to reduce fish.
So don't just swap your meat for fish, maybe just keep the meat free Mondays and things instead.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need a really good
balance.
Reduction
in all areas is a fab place to start.
I agree. I think that's a good tip there. So Sylvia has said, I'm a bit taller than my boyfriend and madly in love with him. This is really a good question. You probably get this all the time. But people make fun of me. How do I deal with the horrible things?
Mate, I get this.
I knew you'd be the best person for this question.
All the time.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, guys, I'm 6'2".
She's incredible.
Thanks, babe. So my boyfriend is probably like 5'9"?
Yeah.
5'10".
He's
a little bit shorter than me. Honestly, like, love is love. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And like, whoever made the social norm that the man has to be taller than the woman? Who made this rule?
I know.
Nobody made the rule. The rule does not exist. The rule exists to be broken if it does exist. So please, like, love is love. Own it. Like, my boyfriend loves it when I wear heels because he's like, damn, you look amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm towering over you, feeling like a badass. So guys, honestly, it means absolutely nothing. If anybody ever makes fun of you, it says more about them than it does about you. Like,
really does.
It really does.
Guys, there's no one size. There's no one shape. There's no one anything for everyone. It is what the media has dictated. We've all been a little bit brainwashed by what is right and what is wrong in society. Uh-huh. Like the 2.4 children thing. Everybody should be married by X age and have kids by X age. It just doesn't exist, does it, anymore?
No. And like, even when I was dating my boyfriend, I remember thinking to myself, like, he's a bit short but I never let that hold me back, because after a couple of dates I was like, this, like, that can't hold me back. Like, we're made for each other, and height doesn't come into that equation. So,
well, that was a good question, Sylvia. So Millie has said, I love your page, Sana. I really want to travel and blog like you. What can I do to grow my following quicker?
Oh my goodness, I also get this question on the day. I would say time. And I think people see what I do now and they think, oh, she's like got this overnight. I actually did a post the other day because I've just come back from a trip to California where I was working out there with the tourism board.
Yeah.
And that was actually my first paid tourism board trip. And
was
I've been
really
doing
lovely
three trips for the tourism boards about 4 years.
To get to the point you are now.
I'm like,
thank
four,
you for sharing
four
that.
4 years of free trips with absolutely zero payment except fun experiences to finally get paid 4 years later. I'm like, guys, this doesn't happen overnight.
And you've
it
been
takes
on Instagram
grind.
For 8 years.
Oh my god,
people forget about that.
I think people like look at my page and they're like, oh my god, how did she do that? I'm like, wait, I've been grafting since I was, I don't know, 19.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time coming, and I think that's the main thing. Like, let go of the pressure of growing fast and just grow authentically, and the audience who come to you over time are the audience who are going to stay with you. So
that's one interesting thing. You've got to, instead of looking at it as followers, look at them as people, human beings that are actually interested in what you have to say.
Because
it doesn't matter how big or how small it is, because you can get opportunities no matter how many. And I know people, you may think it's very easy for us to be talking to you like this. However, it really doesn't matter. It's the type of people that you have supporting you.
Yeah, and actually a lot of brands work with so-called micro-influencers, which is people who have like 10,000 to 50,000 followers and do an awful lot of work with people like that. So don't think that success only comes when you have six fingers.
That is so funny. Yeah, and six fingers, Millie. Wonderful. Yes, sir. I think we've smashed that question. Love it. Lucy has said, moving on there, will you make your children go plant-based?
Oh, I've spoken about this so much. I want kids.
There you go.
So,
but
yeah,
and
that's a stigma. That's a stigma.
It is, isn't it?
One hell of a stigma.
Yeah.
Every time I ever say that I don't want kids, people are like, well, wait till your hormones kick in. And I'm like, well, what if they don't, mate?
Yeah.
So,
one of my bestest friends in the entire world, Tanya, and she won't mind me shouting out here, but she's not into that either. And honestly, this is once again what society tells you you should be doing.
It's
completely up to you.
And I also feel like, ultimately it's my choice, it's my womb, I can do what I want with it.
Yes,
so
it is your womb.
my ovaries, I'll decide what happens down there.
Yeah.
But personally, right now, I'm not seeing kids in my future for multiple reasons, personal reasons and planetary reasons. Yeah. But also, like, if my mind does change down the road, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And also, I would raise them as plant-based because I believe whether you raise a child as eating meat or eating plants, you're choosing what they eat. Forcing, in inverted commas, something to be vegan is no different than forcing somebody to eat animal products. So choosing any dietary lifestyle for your child, as long as you do it in a safe way.
As long as it's a nutritionally safe way, then it's fine. And you know what you're doing then.
Yeah,
I think it is the parent's choice.
Exactly.
From my view as a nutritionist, as long as the parent knows what they're doing, which is why I'm bringing out this thing about how to do it right, then it's totally okay. And I hadn't looked at it from that other angle before.
Yeah.
That's a really different mindset shift to put on it.
Yeah, I think people think like choosing this diet because it's not the norm is forcing, but choosing any diet for child is choosing it for them.
Oh, Zan, it's so interesting.
I know. It's fascinating, isn't it?
I know. So on to personal training. So Alice asked a question. As a PT, how much nutritional advice am I allowed to give clients?
That's a great question. So I have been qualified as a personal trainer for 4 years. Mm. I've been teaching people that whole time. And I never actually gave nutritional advice to a single client.
There you go.
I never gave them a nutrition program, a nutrition plan. I didn't do that even once. I would talk to them about food in our sessions. Yep. Like if they asked me something like, what do you recommend I eat post-workout? I would give them tips like that.
But as I now know, you don't get any nutrition training really in a personal training course.
No, you don't. You maybe get like 1 hour. So I personally believe that it's not my role and responsibility as a personal trainer to provide that advice. I can share tips and tricks and sessions, but I'm not going to write a nutrition program or guide. Instead, I think it's best to onward refer to somebody completely. Who is qualified.
100%. So thank you for that, Zana. Those are your questions from your followers. And one thing I actually wanted to bring up, because I forgot to bring it up earlier and I was thinking about it because it's quite current at the moment as we're recording this podcast, is the discussion on palm oil.
Yes.
I wondered if you had any opinions that you could share about the subject.
Yeah.
Or if you've read into it a little bit more. Yeah. Because from what I've been looking at, this is one hell of a difficult situation.
It is challenging.
Really difficult. Yes.
it's a tough one because palm oil is in everything.
Exactly. Down to our toothpaste.
Yes. And I think ultimately what every single person needs to do is look at labels and reduce what they consume, which has palm oil in.
Exactly.
If something says palm oil free, that gets a big tick from me. But also, if you are going to eat, like consume things or consume beauty products which contain palm oil, you have to. This is a responsibility for every single person to get responsibly sourced palm oil.
Because it does say sustainable palm oil on the packet.
And I think realistically, palm oil as a substance is not going to disappear, as something which is an industry is not going to disappear.
Exactly.
So it is not going to go away anytime soon. No. It's also one of the most efficient oils to harvest. So for example, one cup of another form of oil, you might get 6 cups of palm oil from the same amount of plant. It's a very efficient harvest for
it
a plant.
Really is.
So we can't disregard that completely. It's just being done in a very responsible way. So it's just making sure that if you do consume things with palm oil, that it's responsibly sourced.
I think that's a wonderful answer. I actually covered that on my myth busting with Repost yesterday, because actually people make a living in some countries. It's their sole source of income. It's farming palm oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for us in a Western society with privilege to say, let's ban something. Whereas actually what we should be doing is looking at how we're over farming again, the consumption, the sustainable source. We have to take responsibility completely. So we're now on to my favorite part of the podcast, and this is the quick fire round.
Oh, I love a quick fire.
Good.
Bring it on.
Okay. All right. What's always in your fridge?
Oh, oat milk.
Ooh. You could only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Julienne peeler.
Oh, love.
Yeah.
That was so quick. I can't get over how blooming quick that was. Okay. What's the last thing you tried for the first time?
Purple cauliflower.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was really good.
Sweet. Signature homemade dish?
A curry, chickpea curry.
Ooh. Childhood treat?
Bourbons. Or Battenberg.
Oh, Battenberg.
Mate,
Zana.
I used to go to school with a full Battenberg in my pocket.
Me too, in my lunchbox.
Mate, a full one.
No,
mate,
I'd have like
a... like a 12-inch Battenberg in my pocket. In my bloody pocket, mate. I used to eat half of it at break.
I thought you were thinking like a little slice in your lunch. I used to have Battenberg.
No, mate. Full cake.
Did you get through that full cake?
Yeah, me and my friend Alex used to share it every break.
Brilliant.
Half a Battenberg, 11:20 a.m.
What's the most unusual food you've ever eaten?
I've eaten like the usual, like frog's legs, snails, like all those sorts of things. That's probably one of the most bizarre things that I've eaten.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your favourite restaurant in the world?
Oh,
it could be anywhere, and you've been everywhere.
Cafe Gratitude or oh my god, Ha 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 Mexicana in New York. It's a vegan Mexican restaurant, and it does vegan churros, and it will blow your mind. Go there.
Yes, that almost sounded like a rap. We had rhythmical stuff going on there. It'll blow your mind. Okay, what is the one food you can't live without?
Either bananas or bananas, oats, peanut butter. Bananas, oats, peanut butter. Sorry, I have to pick three.
I love it. I thought that was blooming brilliant. Okay, last question. I'm making this up on the spot, so I'd love to hear your answer. If there were one thing you could do for the environment now, what would it be?
Ban single-use plastic bottles.
Brilliant. Awesome. Awesome. Absolutely wonderful. Okay, and so that nearly wraps up this episode.
Yay.
But with every guest, we finish with a food for thought.
Okay.
That's the podcast. So mine today would be, what we eat not only affects our health, but also the environment, as we have discussed. Now, food is at the heart of many environmental issues. It's a significant contributor to climate change. It's responsible for almost 60% of the global biodiversity loss right now, which is a lot. If we're to build a future where people and nature thrive, we really need to reconsider the food we eat and how it's produced. For same that maybe for some people it might be the government issue, but obviously for me, small changes like we said, the meat-free Mondays to encourage plant-based eating and getting your five a day, things like that can only be a good thing, right? So another thing I read the other day was that the average UK household wastes around 30% of the food it buys. That's like taking £100 out of the bank and putting £30 straight into the bin.
Food waste is an absolute massive issue. Yeah. We should even talk about, but it is a huge issue.
Yeah. So I think if we're looking at that kind of thing, if you had one food for thought to give our listeners today.
As a food-related action, food-related.
It could be anything, actually. Just a take-home message, let's say.
Okay. I would say, as we said, every single action which we have has an impact on the planet. I think, as I said earlier, we have a responsibility, as we live here, we get to enjoy the fruits of this planet, we get to enjoy the beautiful views, we get to enjoy the fresh mountain air, we get to enjoy the forests and the crispy autumn leaves, we get to enjoy all of these simple pleasures which the earth gives us for absolutely nothing. We are given this for free. We get sunrise and sunset every single day, we get beautiful views. We need to pay back for that, and I think the way that we pay back for that is that we take responsibility for our actions, we consume consciously, and we reduce our consumption of things which have a negative impact, and try and instill positive change. If somebody says to you, Sarah, if you're called Sarah, shout out to you.
Why have you got no choice now, Sarah?
Sarah, I'm talking to you. Why have you gone for meat-free Mondays, Sarah? Tell them. Don't be afraid to share the changes that you're doing, because I think if one person does one thing, the reaction of those in their circle can be huge. So if I am drinking from a reusable water bottle and somebody says to me, why are you doing that? I will happily tell them why, because that is spreading the message. Exactly. So make the changes and then share those changes. Try and make a ripple effect to those around you. And I think that's when you're going to have the biggest impact.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. And before you go, Zana, just tell us a little bit about your new swimwear range, because I think that's quite appropriate for this podcast.
I'm trying not to blather on about it too much, but
it's great.
It's called Stay Wild Swim. It's a swimwear brand which is made out of regenerated ocean plastic. Everything is made 100% sustainably and ethically. It's handmade in London at a social enterprise which educates women from disadvantaged backgrounds.
Oh, wow.
Everything is packaged.
I'm loving the words today.
Six fingers in the packled.
We can tell you've been travelling a lot, can't we?
I'm jet lagged, all right, guys.
Yeah.
It's all packaged in recycled and recyclable packaging, carbon neutral shipping. Like, even the hygiene liners are compostable. Like, every single element of this swimwear is sustainable. The stitching is made of regenerated plastic bottles. Like, we've tried to think of everything. So I'm so proud of the brand, and I'm so proud of what we're doing, and the fact that we're trying to lead the way in terms of sustainable fashion, because that is another huge area. I'm sure you can get somebody else on to talk about
that. Yes, there's a lot of different things, but this is why I'm so grateful for you taking the time out to come on this podcast, because it is to share opinions and to create a difference, because we all have that power, guys. We are empowering you with information here that you can take on board to make little changes. There's no right or wrong here.
I just think, everything that you consume, right, that has come from somewhere. And that's something which I've only learned in the past couple of years. Like everything which I consume, this glass that I'm drinking water out of, somebody made that somewhere using certain resources. The jumper that I'm wearing, the phone that I'm using, where was everything sourced for that? And that's a new thought process which I've had. And that has really opened my eyes to want to consume less and consume more consciously. And I just think that's the best thing that we can do.
That's so interesting. That the point of... So I did say I'm wrapping this up, but I want to keep talking about this very quickly. I think this is really interesting, but I hadn't even thought of that. So the shoes we put on every day to carry us from A to B, and everything has come from somewhere.
Oh yeah, we don't, like, you don't realize what goes into making something. Because actually I went, I hope you don't mind me keeping rambling,
please,
on.
Do
But I went to South Africa recently to look at how certain food products were made, and I went to a factory where they made like breakfast cereal bars.
Yeah.
And I had never thought about how something like that is made. I just thought it was a bar on a shelf. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then seeing how they physically made it and the amount of people that went into it and the different machinery, and I was like, wow. Everything that we make has a process like this that goes into it. And it just absolutely blew my mind and shifted my perception. And that really, really, really sparked motivation in me to make a conscious choice and to support processes which I know are positive processes. Because a lot of processes which make things which we use every day perhaps aren't the most positive processes for people or the planet. So
Do you have a big impact? Obviously, being an Adidas ambassador as well.
Yeah.
Do you think you're able to have words?
So Adidas are so open and responsive to talking about everything. So they're trying to do a lot of positive things in terms of like their Parley trainers. Every single pair of Parley trainers which Adidas makes is using up 11 plastic bottles from the ocean. So they're doing things like that. The leggings which I'm wearing today are made
modeled.
Of regenerated ocean plastic.
Cool.
I have jackets from them made of regenerated ocean plastic. They're trying to bring that into all of their clothing where it's got a recycled element. I was talking to the head of the women's design Adidas, and they're moving to like plant-based dyes so that the dyeing process, because if you don't know, in clothing, dyes can have huge impacts on waterways in developing countries. So they're moving towards like water-based, plant-based dyes for their clothing. So as a global brand, they are making positive steps.
Wonderful.
And if a brand like Adidas makes steps like
come on, they can all follow.
Everybody else can follow, you know?
That's what we're hoping. And a final thing to leave people with, perhaps another food for thought, could be what's the one documentary you'd recommend in terms of plastic consumption for everybody to watch, or maybe two?
Okay, A Plastic Ocean.
Yeah, A Plastic Ocean. I cried watching A Plastic Ocean.
Oh my God, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So A Plastic Ocean or Drowning in Plastic, those two are both great.
Okay, well, Zana, thank you for being such a wonderful, informative guest. I could actually keep this rolling for hours, so I'm going to have to leave it there. But thank you for coming in.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest. So click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Stir fry meals can make dinner a breeze. It's time to stop planning to make elaborate meals that you know you'll never have the energy for at the end of a long day at work. The fact is that you can have an amazing, healthy meal that impresses without a ton of fuss. You just need one pan, a wooden spoon, and there's minimal cleaning up too. Using Hex Sweet Fusion Veggie Bangers made with fragrant Thai pesto, sweet potato, and sticky rice, I mix in broccoli, sugar snap peas, pak choi, and courgette. That's a wholesome meal that comes together in minutes. Just add some olive oil, crushed garlic, and soy sauce, and you've taken the hassle out of dinner in just a few minutes. Check out heckfood.co.uk or find them in the major supermarkets.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.